Chapter 3. The Grand Tour. The humans, of course, wanted to interrogate me as soon as Spy went back to its ship. But I hadn't learned all that much about the creature. It asked all the questions. We first went to the Martian quarters. It already knew the basic principles of our recirculating ecology. In fact, it knew more about some of the science and engineering than I did. It appears to have a memory like mine. Perfect. But it had studied Martian physiology, for instance, with more depth than I was ever exposed to. Part of what we discussed there is not translatable, because it has to do with an intimacy between Snowbird and me that has no human counterpart. To answer the obvious to humans question, it is not a sexual relationship, nor does it have anything to do with emotional bonding. It is a practical matter that has to do with being ready to die. The pool that you built for us interested it. It wanted to know what humans gained by this demonstration of friendship. Altruism was difficult to explain, but it understood about doing favors in expectation of eventual return. Then I took it around to all the crops. This took the most time, because for some reason it needed to know details about the propagation and maintenance of every species. I would call this a hopeful sign. Why would the others need this information other than to help humans survive after some life support mishap? Similarly, I took it through the warehouse area, which is mostly human food storage. It was interested in Namir's homemade musical instruments. Music seems not as mysterious to them as it is to Martians. It asked me some questions that I couldn't answer. I said to ask Namir. It also asked questions about the shop area that I couldn't answer, mostly about the weapons that obviously could be made there. They can't be thinking that we will be making swords and pistols to attack them. I expressed this thought, and Spy said of course I was right. But I assume the situation is more complex than that, and recommend that Paul or Namir, with their experience as warriors, engage him on this topic to reassure them. I didn't say anything, of course, about our conversation, our group meeting on 8th May 2085, where we discussed the possibility of a kamikaze attack, using all of Ad Astra as a high-velocity bomb. I assume that it is no longer a possibility, so there was no need to discuss it. It was very interested in the swimming and exercise area, with the virtual reality escape masks or helmets. It looked at the exercise log carefully, perhaps to have a picture of each person's physical strength. There was a long and odd discussion about the physical differences between humans and Martians, which covered things it must already have known. I think it was examining my attitudes, or mine and Snowbird's, toward you humans. I think that when we arrive at Wolf 25, the others will want to exploit the difference between the two races, and take advantage of the fact that we are, in some abstract essence, their children. As you know, from several conversations over these past 3 years, our allegiance is with you. Of course, that is exactly what I would say if I were lying, especially if I were on its side. It wanted to investigate some private quarters. Since I am closest to Namir, I prevailed upon him. I explained to Spy about the sexual relationship among him and Dustin and Elza, as well as I can understand it, and how that mandates the arrangement of the sleeping area of each. Of course, Namir's bedroom is small, as is Dustin's since they are just for sleeping, and its walls are a constantly changing art gallery, thousands of reproductions from the great museums of Earth. Spy had difficulty understanding this, as do I. One thing Martians and humans have in common is a preference for darkness and quiet when we sleep. So what does it matter what's on the walls? Dustin's room is plain, with only an abstract picture he calls a mandala on one wall. In Elsa's bedroom, there is a large cube for showing movies, which usually are depictions of humans mating in various ways, which Namir explained as being an aid in their own mating, or I should say, fucking, since I understand that Elsa, like the other females, has suspended her reproductive function for the duration of the flight. Of course, Spy knew enough about human nature not to be surprised by that, as it was not surprised when we then visited the kitchen, where Namir pleases himself and the rest of you by preparing your food in various original ways. Neither we nor the others see the point in changing the appearance and flavor of fuel. I think we shared a thing like humor over your counterproductive need for variety in these commonplace aspects of life. I don't think its motives regarding me are friendly, though, or simple. It seemed to be testing me. Perhaps it will do the same with you humans at a later date. We heard Namir and Dustin making noise down by the swimming area, and backtracked to watch. They couldn't play pool in zero-G, so they had improvised a three-dimensional variant, more gentle and slow than the original. I couldn't quite understand the rules, which amused them. Dustin said they had to make up the rules as the game progressed, since nobody had ever played it before. This may be important. Spy revealed that the others have a similar activity. Much of their time, like yours, goes to individual contests that have only a symbolic relation to real events. The compact way it described those contests didn't reveal much, except that the physical actions are not accomplished by individual others. They are done by beings like Spy, biological constructs that are autonomous but obedient. And the point of the game is not to win, but to discover the rules. We completed the circuit by investigating the lounge and work areas, where most humans spend the waking hours that are not given over to strictly biological activities. When Spy began to put on its helmet, Paul came over to operate the airlock. One person can do it alone, but it's simpler to have someone outside the lock pushing the buttons. He told Spy he would start to fire the steering jets at 0230. Best to be inside by then. Before the outer door was even open, Carmen and the others were bearing down on me with questions.